Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
I went and seen my daughter play her basketball game at Central State. And I took Zeta and I took my son. So, you know, it was great. You know, just an awesome time. As the first time Zeta ever got to watch her Aunt Go-Go, she calls her Auntie Go-Go because she's always on the go. First time she ever got to see her play basketball. But we were on the way back, and it was kind of a long drive from Xenia. It was on the other side of Xenia, Central State. I didn't have any of the CDs that I normally play with Zeta, so it was kind of quiet. We're talking. And Zeta's, tell me a story, Papa. So I told her that story about the eagle. Or the hawk on the guy's shoulder. Remember that story? I told her that story, and I liked it. And she goes, don't you have any jokes, Papa? And my son goes, I got a joke. He said, one of my students told me this joke today at school. He starts to tell his joke. And he says, there's these pirates, and they were out on the ocean. And this one pirate, he was up in the crow's nest, and he had his telescope looking out over the horizon for, you know, the enemy. The enemy was the French army. So he sees a ship out on the horizon, and he comes and he says, Captain, Captain, there's a French ship out on the horizon getting ready to attack us. And the captain says, bring me my red shirt. So he gets his red shirt and takes it to him. And they go and they defeat this French army ship. So they're out, and a couple days later, the pirate's up there in the crow's nest again. He's scanning the horizon. Oh no, there's another ship, French ship, on the horizon. He says, Captain, Captain, there's another ship on the horizon getting ready to attack us. Captain says, bring me my red shirt. And the guy goes, you know, every time we get ready to go to war, he goes, you say, bring me my red shirt. What do you mean by that? He goes, well, when I get wounded, I don't want the enemy to see my blood if I get wounded. He goes, okay, that makes sense. So they defeat that ship, and they go on. And so the guy's up in the crow's nest again with his telescope, checking out the horizon. And he says, oh, no, it's a whole fleet of French army ships getting ready to attack us. He says, Captain, Captain, there's a whole fleet of ships out there on the horizon getting ready to attack us. And the captain goes, bring me my brown pants. Now, wait. Now, I took her skating the other night, and we were on the way home from skating. And we're coming through Vandalia, and there was a skunk, and I could smell this skunk. I said, Zeta, you smell that skunk? She says, Papa, bring me my brown pants. I'll tell you what, I couldn't take it. She's 5 years old. She put all that together. And last night, I was on my way home, and in Piqua, I smelled a skunk, and all I could hear was Zeta saying, bring me my brown pants. I tell you, I was laughing. I woke up laughing. I said, man, you need to laugh. That's all right, isn't it? She got that. Nobody explained nothing to her. Oh, I think that's funny. I'm going to put that on their answering machine today. Oh, jeepers. All right. So where are we at? We've been talking about the Antichrist. We're not looking for it in other people, but we're looking for it within ourselves. Anti, remember, it means to be opposed, to be against, to challenge. All right, now, Christ, remember, that's the word Christos, and that's the anointing. That's what brings influence in our lives. Okay, remember when Jesus was in the garden? He prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. And the garden of Gethsemane was oil press. And that represents the anointing. The idea is when you're under a lot of pressure to make decisions and choices, and you make the right ones and you line it up with God's will and his word, then now you have influence. And there's an anointing on you that will be released in your life to affect others and to affect your life. So it's when you line your will up with God's will. But you see, that requires the truth. Remember, the Holy Spirit is always leading us and guiding us into all truth. But we avoid that, remember? When we get in positions where the truth is coming forth and we don't want to hear it, we just kind of avoid it. We don't want to go through the changes because it can be extremely difficult at times. But remember, there's grace and truth and time, that process can take place and you can be healed and you can be whole and you can walk in the plan and purpose that God has for you. But we're going to have to identify the Antichrist in us. What did we talk about the Antichrist was last week? Cold love, remember? Cold love. And that's what's going on in our society. We talked about perilous times. The word perilous, remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, the word perilous means dangerous and violent. Dangerous and violent, it means high risk. We are in dangerous, violent, high risk times right now. And remember, it says in the last days, the last times. The word last is the word eschatos, and it speaks of end times and last times. And the word times, remember, is the word decade. And so decade upon decade, the times are culminating into where we are now. So the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, they're just progressively getting worse. So he says that we're going to be in this perilous times, but remember he said, know this, know that these perilous times are here. You see, when you know something, you know it. You see, that's why when you know something and you hear the radio or you listen to the news on the TV, I know this is because of the times we're in. And so because you know that, now you're not going to be persuaded and you're not going to be easily influenced to get caught up in that because you know that's the times we're in. And no matter how you pray and no matter what, you can't change the times because we're in those times. But that when we know that, then we can make the change within ourselves for the times. And that's what God is doing. He's trying to change us and let us to be a light in the midst of all the stuff that's going on around us. That's what the truth is doing. It's calling you and I to make the changes that he's created us for and called us to. He said, I'm coming for a people who worship me in spirit and in truth. He says the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. If he's in you, he's trying to get you to the truth. Remember, we have this treasure in us. And there's so much that we haven't discovered yet, but that's what he's trying to get us to. Okay, so now we talked about cold love. And remember, what was the reason for the cold love? And really, the dangerous times. Lovers of themselves. Remember, the word themselves is the word eimi. And that Greek word means I am. It's a very selfish society. We live in an I am society, a meism society. What about me? It's all about me. That's the kind of society we live in. Lovers of themselves. That's why it creates cold love. All we want to do is talk about ourselves. It's about me.
I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one. Oh my, me, my, what I think, what I like,
in
what
church.
I know, what I want, what I see.
Yeah.
I want to talk about me.
Okay, that's good. That's enough. Well, boy, that fits, doesn't it? That's the reality. That's the kind of society we're living in. Now, catch this. I'm just going to cover three words in that segment of portion of scripture that we went over last week as a recap. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, it says that they will be traitors. The Greek word traitor is the word prodotes. It means to betray an oath or covenant during difficult times. That right there nails divorce. You see, your marriage gets tough, and it really gets tough. People, I'll just go get me somebody else. Well, this is too much. This is too much for me. When all along, God is trying to get the truth in you and to develop you, the character of God in you, in that marriage environment, to bring the Christ and the influence out of you, not to go run off and do something with somebody else or just get out of it. See, folks, when you understand this, you're not going to run. You're going to know this is the time we're in. I've got to step it up. I got to get me some help, some counseling. I got to get some therapy. I got to do what I got to do to make this thing work. But people go to work. They go to work and they start flirting. And these people are married. I'll tell you what, that's garbage. You look excited. I am excited. I hate it. You know, if someone comes up to you and they tell you how good you're looking and you're married and they know it, you tell them you're a deceiver. Get out of my face with your lying stuff. This is what's going on. Traitor. The next word was headstrong. This is the Greek word prodeites, and this is what it means. Quick thinking, hasty. In other words, a headstrong person makes a decision real quick. They don't even care about the long-term ramifications of the decision they made. And that's what a traitor does. Oh, the heck, it's over. It's over. I can't put up with this no more. They don't want to, in no time, and nothing invested in it. It's over. See, they don't care about all the people they're hurting and the wake they're leaving behind them. Am I making sense? So, headstrong. This is what's in our society. The next word was haughty. And it means this, typhoon. It's the Greek word typhoon. And the word typhoon means harmful, hurtful, destruction. That's what this traitor stuff does. They decide they want a way out of the covenant, out of the oath. I'm done. Quick decision. And then it creates a typhoon effect. It hurts, destroys, and brings destruction like a wake. You know how a typhoon messes up stuff wherever it is? Well, that's the way that kind of decision making affects people, and it leaves a negative wake behind it. And if you are here and that has happened to you, don't let this beat you up, because God can restore. He can restore what the locusts have eaten. God can restore. If you've been through a divorce, don't let this beat you up. But I'm speaking to people who are playing games. I hear so much of this, it nauseates me. And so, folks, when you see that, you got to identify that and deal with it, because it's Antichrist. Today, the mark of the Antichrist spirit is worry. When you're worrying, God's not in that. So we're going to talk about not worrying, but you know, you're going to have to wait till we get there. We're going to talk about the comfort of the Holy Spirit that we have and helps us that we don't have to worry. God is there to comfort us no matter what is going on around us. So we're going to talk about that today. Go with me to John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you for how long? Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, some of your translations use the word comforter here. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter. It's really parakletos is the word for the Holy Spirit. Para means alongside. He is going to be alongside you. Now, this is what it means. Strengthener, counselor, comforter, advocate, intercessor, helper. All those words describe the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the comforter today. The Holy Spirit as the comforter. No matter what kind of times we're in, he can comfort you no matter what you're going through. And so that's what we need to understand. And he says in John 14, 16, he says, I'm going to give you another helper, another comforter. That word another is the Greek word allos, A-L-L-O-S, and it means one of the very same kind. Jesus was talking to the disciples here, and he was getting ready to leave. and he knew he was going to be leaving, and what he had to do was explain to the disciples that I'm giving you something here that you're going to have, and you're not going to need me anymore. It's going to be just like I'm with you. You see, that's what he's saying. I'm giving you a comforter, a helper. You see that? And so that's the idea, because he was getting ready to leave. He had to make sure they understood what was taking place. Now, the word comfort means to soothe in times of grief and fear. So the Holy Spirit can bring a soothing and a very comforting your emotions, your well-being, no matter what is going on around us, no matter what's out here, you can be comforted in the midst of it. Hear me now. You have to draw on it. You have to be yielding to it. See, that's the thing. You have to yield to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to get to the truth. Well, the truth is, I can comfort you in this time. For Christmas, I got this a Snuggie. It's a comforter. It lays folded up on the couch. But when I really, really want to be comforted by it, I have to sit down and get off my feet and put it around me and really enjoy the comfort of that comforter. If I didn't get off my feet, I walked around with it, I'd be tripping. So sometimes you got to quit standing on your own and just get off your feet and relax and rest and enjoy the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You can do that no matter where you're at. I had a phone call that blew me away on the road this week. Toxic. And I just, you're my comforter. And when I got off that phone, I actually wanted to pull off the road. I said, no, I'm going to keep driving. And he came in and he comforted me. You understand what I'm saying? No matter what you're facing, you have to yield to that comfort. See, what happens is we yield to the problem. We yield to the stress and all the anxiety and worry. And that's what we got to stop yielding to. We want to yield to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And you need to get quiet and allow that to happen. You see, that's why he said in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Let it. You have to let it not be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. For if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Then Thomas said, but Lord, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm here to tell you, that gives me comfort. That gives me comfort that God has it all planned out and all prepared. That right there, I get comfort from it. Am I making sense? When you begin to really reflect on what God says to you, it brings you comfort. If God's for me, who can be against me? My, that gives me comfort. You have to yield to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because folks, these are some uncomfortable times right now. And if we will yield, hey, he's going to be right there for you. Now look at this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, real quick, chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all, what? Comfort. We serve a God of all comfort. He's qualified to give you comfort. He is your source. You see, when we focus on the stress and all the anxiety around us, that becomes our source. This puts things in perspective. You see, stress, you know what stress, the word stress comes from? It's a contractor's term and a builder's term. Whenever they would build a second floor, it had to meet stress standards, or they couldn't build up to the next floor. You see, that's what God is trying to get you to another level in your walk with him. And you got to pass some of these stress tests because he's trying to build you up. You see, that's what edify means, to restore, to build up, to remodel. He's trying to build you up to another level of what you're really called to. But stress can keep you from it. So look, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation,
that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through what? Christ, through the anointing. See, we have the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings is God's trying to bring the change in us. But there's comfort in that as well. We'll be dependent on God as we're going through that. And He will comfort you in that time. God wants to use you to bring comfort to others as they're going through things. And you know what? If you draw on the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you will be a person that can bring comfort to others. They can hear it in your voice. He wants you to be one who brings comfort to people, because we're living in perilous times, right? In Psalm 77, verse 2, David said, "I cried out to the Lord, but my soul was not comforted." Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. In other words, David was so wrapped up in his problem that he couldn't get the comfort God had for him. But now if you read on, he says, "Then I remembered the Almighty." Then I remembered, he said. And as he began to reflect on who God was, then the comfort came. Then he said, "I began to talk and speak of his wonderful deeds." You see, it changes the whole scenario when you begin to reflect on who God is. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will tell you of things to come. He's all about telling you the good. In John chapter 16, it says that the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. And when you're in tune with that, you don't have to worry. He says He will convict the world of sin. Now listen to me. Please listen to me. The Holy Spirit is not in there pointing out you're wrong all the time. That's not the Holy Spirit. The sin issue's been dealt with. He convicts the world of sin. The world is speaking of someone's outside the body of Christ. Someone who has not been born again. The world system, the cosmos. So He convicts the world of sin. Why? Because they do not believe in Me. He shows them, but still He's not beating them up. The word convict means convince. I remember when I came to Christ, I was at my place of employment. I worked for Miles Laboratories at the time, and I was going through all kinds of problems. And this guy handed me a Bible. And I had a habit. I got my comfort from beer. Strohs, Bohemian beer. Anybody ever drink some of that? Some Strohs. I used to drink me some Strohs, yeah. Back in 30 years ago, 29 years ago. But I thought that's where you got comfort. So he gave me this Bible, and I on my way, I told him, I said, "You know what, I'll read your Bible. But I said, I'm going to drink a quart of beer while I read it." He goes, "I don't care if you drink two quarts." So I go home, and I stopped at the King Quick, got me a quart of beer. And I was going to read this Bible this guy just gave me that had been witnessing to me. And so I had a habit, I would watch Johnny Carson on the TV at night and, you know, just kind of wind down because I worked second shift. And so I walked in the house and I flipped on the TV, and I had a habit of always walking back and looking at my wife and my kids while they were sleeping. So I walked back, looked at all of them, had the bottle of quart of beer in hand, a Bible in the other. And then I walked back out, and when I flipped on the TV, it was on the 700 Club. I've never watched the 700 Club before. TV was just on the wrong channel. So this guy named Ben Kinslow was on there, and he began to talk. And I started listening. He was saying the same things that the janitor at work was talking about. And I'll tell you what, the conviction of the Holy Spirit filled my house. I started bawling, and then I just got down on my knees, and he says, "You need to be born again." And I'm listening to every word he's saying. And he says, "You need to repent." I repent. I got down on my knees. I soaked the carpet, bawling like a baby. And when I got up, I knew I was different. I threw that Stroh's Bohemian away. And I haven't touched it since. But here's the idea. You see, I was in the world. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit, He comes to convict the world of sin. He showed me my wretchedness just through listening to it. I just saw that I'm a sinner. I need to do something with this. And He wasn't belting it out and hammering me. I just saw it. And it was the presence. It was very gentle and very, He was moving. You see this? I'm trying to show you the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I've never been the same since. But the idea is, that's what He does. And see, He's the counselor. He's the helper, comforter, strengthener, intercessor. Those are all good things. And that's what he's doing in a believer's life. That's what he has for you. All good. Now think about this. The sin issue's been dealt with. Here's what the Holy Spirit is leading us into truth. See, the Bible talks about sins and iniquities. It says your sins and iniquities have separated you from God, that he can't hear you. The iniquities are the patterns in your life that can keep you in sin, in sin behavior. Am I making sense? So we all have patterns in our life that can keep us in sin. And the Bible says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. That's an outward laceration. And he was bruised for our iniquities. A bruise is a bleeding on the inside. So he bled on the inside, and we've been redeemed by the blood, purchased back by God. So in other words, he bled on the inside so he could free you on the inside. Get the truth into you and free you on the inside. That's what the Holy Spirit, he's trying to come in and change those patterns that don't line up with his will. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in a believer's life and trying to get you to truth. And when you receive that truth, you stop those patterns. Then you're not going to continue on in the sinful behavior. But the sin issue's been dealt with. That's something it's important to understand, right? That's significant right there. All right, now think about this. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus is speaking to thousands of people here. And he's saying, do not worry. The phrase "do not" in the Greek means stop. So Jesus was saying it like this. Stop worrying. Stop it. God is not in that. You see, when we're full of worry and anxiety, we're not trusting God. We're not drawing on the comfort he has for us. Now, I'm just not a real worrier by nature. I'm just not. And I know because I rely on the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't have it all together. I'm not trying to act like I do. But I do depend on him. And he keeps me from worrying and being anxious. You know, some of you used to rely on Southern comfort. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit's comfort. But the comfort of the Holy Spirit is much better than the comfort of anything. I mean, it is real comforting. He is there to help us in all the pain that we suffer in. He's our helper. Oh my goodness, this is good stuff. And the word help I'm going to spell it out. This is a long Greek word. SUNANTILAMBETAI. No. Son. This word son means partnership. It means cooperation. It means collaboration. It means teamwork. It means joint effort. In other words, the Holy Spirit is in there working with you and alongside you. You got to do your part. And you know what? When you do that, it brings comfort. But we're going to be talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks, because the Holy Spirit is in there trying to lead you and guide you into all truth. And if you'll yield to that, he'll bring you comfort.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.